Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It is Friday, the 19th of November, a little after 10 o'clock in the morning, my time, and it is 9 o'clock up in beautiful Fort Frances, where Tim is, I think, shoving his mouth full of a bagel. So we know there's butter on it. Let's see if there's any jelly or jams on it or anything else. Tim, good morning.
Perfect timing, Rich. I just swallowed the last bite of my blueberry bagel and no jam, okay? I make a good enough mess with just my light butter, okay?
Light butter. So, like, what is light butter?
You put it on a scale. It weighs a little bit less than normal butter.
Okay, so it's a lot of butter, right? Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Yeah, it is, but I've given up on that, you know, the jam on my bagels because, for the most part, Rich, I'm not a slob. Okay, but for whatever reason, whenever I put jam on a bagel, it ends up on my keyboard, my monitor, my mouse, yeah, and most of the clothes I'm wearing. I have no idea what it is, but bagel and jams, no, I got to stay away from that. I can only do so many loads of laundry a week and clean off my keyboard.
See, I have a sweet tooth, so I love, I put jam on my eggs.
Really?
Yeah. I'm that guy. I love anything sweet goes on anything, in my opinion.
What's your preference?
What do you mean?
As far as jams, jellies.
Oh, grape, like grape is probably at the bottom. Strawberry, oh. I like. Blueberry jams are great. Mm-hmm. An orange marmalade, not British orange marmalade that doesn't have any sugar in it. That's really tart. But the Smucker's orange marmalade where they put lots of sugar in it, I'm good. I'm down with that. So
We found a vice.
Oh, it's definitely sugar, man. That's my vice, very much so. Okay. Lori's like, how can you eat that? That's just too gross sweet. I went, oh, it's fantastic. So.
So, in other words, my next care package, you want some of them chocolate-covered Jujubes, correct?
Oh, absolutely. So, Lori, like, devours savory stuff. Like, so when those chips come, I mean, that she's – if you ever seen Doritos, Timmy, you'll be best friends with her. I mean, that's her death row. That's her death row meal is a bag of Doritos.
Doritos. That's funny.
So, and mine's like a bag of M&Ms or something like that. That's what I would go with. But
just stay away from the Smarties. Stay away from the Smarties.
I don't know what they are. They're more like pebbles, I think, eating rocks.
Yeah.
So good week, Tim.
I discovered that winter on the prairies can be fun. I took a couple days to drive out to just about the Saskatchewan border. Actually, I was closer to Regina than I was Winnipeg when I
eventually got... Excuse me, Tim?
Yep. Hello?
Where were you? Regina? Vagina? What did you say?
Regina, the capital of Saskatchewan. R-E-G-I-N-E.
I don't know, Timmy. I think you slipped.
No comment. There's a reply there. Okay, but I'm not going there. I'm going to walk away from that one.
Okay, really? Is that Regina? Is that? Do high school sophomores make jokes about that? I mean, it has to, right?
I would think at the high school level, yeah,
or the elementary school level, maybe that I was doing it from elementary school all the way to high school. So I was a slow I was a slow burn on maturity, Tim.
Yeah, well, I was the guy talking about the moon and Uranus last week. So.
Exactly.
I'm not a picture of maturity sometimes as well.
Speaking of moon and Uranus, Timmy, guess what I did at 3:30 in the morning?
You looked at the eclipse.
I got my ass out of bed. Got the telescope out and looked at the lunar eclipse. I mean, I wasn't sure what I was looking at, but the moon kind of had a orange look to it. It was actually pretty cool. So
yeah, you don't have to look at that through a frying pan or anything. Hey, that's just a solar
No. Apparently, so the sun was behind us. It was sunny in China and Australia. So the moon, the Earth is blocking the sun. So the moon then is in the shadows of the Earth. So it gets kind of a little bit of sun kind of coming around it. That's why you get that orange hue to it. So it was it was actually cool. So I looked in the telescope. I still wasn't alert. I actually had to rub my eyes before I could focus on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, wash up a little bit, get some of the sleep out of there. And
So I'm looking at it going, well, this is really cool. And then I'm like, I look at it again. I go, oh, that's really cool. And then I'm like, now what do I do? Like, it's like, okay.
You go back to bed.
Yeah, it's like, well, do I sit and see if it changes colors? And then I waited for 5 or 10 minutes. I looked at it again. I'm going back to bed. So I'm back to bed. So.
Well, I figured there'd be a picture somewhere on the internet today, so I never got out of it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I can take pictures in my telescope. I got to figure that out. So I know some people can, but I'm not sure I can. But I got to get an attachment probably to be able to do that.
I would think so. And, you know, it's just like so many of our toys, batteries and other accessories not included, something like that.
I'm assuming, Timmy. This could be definitely a financial sock on me. So, I mean, it's just, I've got a couple of lenses I don't even know how to use yet. Something called a 2X magnifier. I don't even know how to attach it to anything. So I got to read about that. So still very nascent on the telescope, but it was fun last night, Timmy. I have to admit, I quite enjoyed seeing the moon like that.
Yeah, that's cool. We had some interesting baseball developments in the past couple of days. Jose Barrios, that's a big move.
It is. And we're going to talk about that on Sunday, Timmy, because you know what we're talking about? I actually thought the awards were interesting as well.
Yeah, I think they got it right.
Yeah,
they were interesting. I was happy to see Ohtani was unanimous. Uh-huh. I think he deserved to be. Mm-hmm. Just a tough year for anybody up against that, right?
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about that on Sunday. We're going to talk about some of the early signings and maybe why they are signing early, Tim, and whether Noah Syndergaard's really worth $21 million when he pitched how many innings last year, Tim? Four? Three?
Yeah, two? Not enough. How's that?
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. So we're going to do that. Today, Timmy, we are doing prospects, and you're going to interview me on the AL Central. So that's what we've got planned today. So I guess as the old saying goes, without further ado, let me turn it over to you, Tim.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I enjoy these shows. And, you know, we might as well start out with, we're going to do this alphabetically, Rich. And it just so happens that we won't be talking a lot about the Chicago White Sox, will we?
No, it's good. So it's this will be quick, get it out of the way, take a break, and come back and hit some very, very good systems coming up.
Yeah, there's a couple in there that are some impressive. But moving forward with the White Sox, we've got the younger brother of
Jonas.
Yes. I was just stretching there for a second.
And I believe when he was at the Arizona Fall League, he was going by Yolkis. Yolkis, and so as opposed to Yolk, which is how a lot of sites have his, you know, a lot of the data providers have it. So maybe he's decided to, I don't know. Anyway, Yolkis,
we can call him Junior, right?
Yeah, or Yo. So
Yo, hey, Yo, yeah, okay, yeah, that works fine. Going through the hit tool and looking at the player, I guess the big $1 million question is, will he hit? We talked about it last week, and there's still some doubt, right?
Yeah, so if you don't mind, Timmy, let's just back up.
Not at all.
Huge backup for a moment. Like, okay. So I think we need to talk about the White Sox organization holistically. So
should like a medicine?
Yeah, so Yolkis Cespedes be the number one prospect in most systems or in any system? The answer is no, right?
Right.
I mean, he's not at that level. It's a talent. But the White Sox have graduated so many players, almost in my humble opinion, Tim, I don't know what your view is. I'd love to hear it. Like, incredibly impressive. Like, how did they hit on so many players? I mean, you just Andrew Vaughn and you know, it just goes on and on and on. The number of guys that they promoted and their system is a reflection of all of those promotions, but their Major League Baseball club is also a reflection of all those promotions. So I think you got to give it up for the White Sox and what they have done and how they've done it.
Well, yeah, I definitely quite often when you see a minor league system as depleted as, say, the White Sox is right now, it's because of trades, failures, the odd success. But when you look at the White Sox, it's a lot of success. You take a look at, you got Robert, okay, and you got
Eloy
Vaughn.
Jimenez, Vaughn.
They're all young kids coming through that. So
Even
Michael
Yoan
Pope.
Moncada was like one of the first guys to kind of make it through. He's still very young.
Throw Michael Kopech in there.
Yep.
They've got, hey, in most other systems, would Garrett Crochet be pitching in the bullpen?
They would have probably,
He,
I would
yeah.
think they would have developed him as a starter, yes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of players that have come out of that system that are now on the 26-man roster, and good for the White Sox. That's what's supposed to happen, in theory, right?
In theory, and then if you can contrast, and that is the modern way, in my humble opinion, Tim, I don't know about your, that's the modern way to build a team. It is not what the Angels are trying to do. Yes, they develop Mike Trout, but I mean, all they're doing is like acquiring these older players, and here they go with Noah Syndergaard, like another 1 year. Can we hit on this guy, as opposed to really focusing on a core group of guys coming up? And kind of being that team that you can build around who are cost control, and then you bring in like the Braves did. If you think about it, the Braves did exactly what the White Sox have done as well. They've got that core group, and then they can bring in Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler and Charlie Morton, spend some money there to fill in the, but they're not bringing in core pieces. They're actually bringing in complementary pieces. And I think that's how you build a team, not what the Yankees have done, or with all that kind of stuff, and some even the Red Sox, if you think about it, still that core team was built from within. So.
Well, yeah, Rafael Devers, hey, he's a Boston guy, and the Angels, they can't develop pitching. That
No.
is that's the problem. They do have some young bats in Adele and Marsh that should be on the big league roster, but until they can find some way to develop some pitching internally, yeah, they're going to have to play that game. It's
Yeah.
as simple as that.
Yeah, and they play it very poorly. We're going to talk about that at
Yes.
length on Sunday because I have a real problem with the Noah Syndergaard signing. I hope he goes 25-2 with a sub 3 ERA. I hope it's great. I'm
Right.
skeptical. So,
And I can't understand for the life of me why.
so, but anyway, so let's with that as a backdrop because I think it they deserve some homage to what they've done, as do the Braves and some other teams that have done a really good job. So now,
Yeah.
Timmy, Yolkis Cespedes, can he hit? I don't know. The tools are loud. He looks great in a uniform. He's got everything. He checks all the boxes. He can't hit yet, and it's probably a combination of Russ being overwhelmed because of how much time he's missed, and just the level that he played at in Cuba. It's going to take some time.
Well, and the good thing about that is he has the time, because the White Sox have got a very strong lineup. There's no way he's breaking into that lineup overnight. And he's not going to be rushed, because they don't have to rush him, do they?
They
Not at this
don't,
point
but
in time.
he is not a young player anymore, right? Because he was, I mean, he was signed as a as an older, kid. So I think he's what, 22 or 3? He is 24.
24. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
But then again, they've got the luxury of developing him and seeing what happens. Much like the Astros, pretty much have a little bit of luxury with Pedro Leon.
Yep. I'm wondering if their strong interest in Starling Marte, by the way, is a little bit of what they think about Pedro, or a little bit of fear of what they're seeing with Pedro Leon.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the guy reporting that is reporting that everybody has interest. So I
So.
don't know how much weight I'm putting in a lot of the, you see here today, John Morosi again, Rangers showing interest in Marcus Semien. Okay, well, Pittsburgh is showing interest in Marcus Semien.
Hey Timmy, can I repeat what I said? I think the Astros are showing really strong interest in Starling Marte. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So as a Pedro Leon owner, I'm ignoring that whole statement.
But as a I'm just telling you, they're very, and they might not sign them, but that report is in fact true. At least that's what I've been told. So
okay, yeah, I'm just skeptical about anything for the most part.
I thought the Marcus Semien. I mean, of course, there's a lot of teams interested in Marcus Semien. Everybody should be interested in every pitcher that's available, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, and, you know, the other one that came out yesterday, just being off topic, and, you know, Rays talking long-term deal with Franco. Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Rays do, right? And I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion on Sunday as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if I would just tee this up, I'll be shocked, as I'm sure you will, and everybody else listening to this podcast, if they sign Wander Franco with a two handle, a 200 handle, I'll be forever shocked.
Well, yeah, I'll just one short bit of context. When they extended Evan Longoria,
yeah,
it worked out to 10 years, $136 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
Take and convert that to today's dollars and today's market. And what does that get you if you want Franco for 10 years?
Yeah, it's probably a two handle. So
yeah, 200 plus.
But Ronald Acuna signed for how much? And they think, I don't know.
Well,
I think that's probably
the
going market.
And I'm sure that when they're sitting down, the agents will be talking Fernando Tatis Jr. Mm-hmm. And the Rays will be talking Ozzy Albies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. So would I if you ran. And so would you if you ran the Rays organization. That's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's the game.
That's the game, right? That's why you have a representative. So
exactly.
All right, Timmy.
We've done a good job of skipping the prospects so far, but it's been fun. I like it.
Okay, there you go.
We did want a 3-hour podcast today, right?
Yeah, it's going. Yeah, well, we're going to break it into a couple of shows. So feel free to spend as much time. I got plenty of time, Timmy. It's early.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. So moving on at number two, we've got Colson Montgomery, first round pick last June, high school kid. What says Rich about Mr. Montgomery?
I kind of like it, Tim. I think he probably moves to the outfield just because of his size. But I think he hits. I think there could be some power there. It's athletic. I mean, I don't know how much speed is going to be their long. I mean, usually guys that are 6'4" are not going to steal you a ton of bases long term, but I kind of like it.
Well, and again, it fits with what's happening in Chicago right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't need immediate help. And if they do need immediate help, they'll go to their number four prospect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've got some time to develop this kid and see how it shakes down. So I think it's a great move.
I mean, I think he's probably a second to third round pick in a supplemental draft. Are people thinking about that? I mean, was he pick number 22? So, yeah, I mean, I would probably, you know, if I'm picking third or fourth in the second round, it might be a guy that I target. Unless number three is available, then I'm all over number three. So,
yeah, I'm sort of liking number three on your list a lot, too. Yeah. And again, you look at the level of competition he was facing after coming out of Cuba. But at the same point in time, he didn't pitch in a while. Mm-hmm. So even as a 21-year-old, you know, in the DSL, that's still impressive, isn't it? Very impressive.
Do you know why he stayed in the DSL and didn't come stateside?
I'm reading your notes, and you didn't include that, so no, I don't.
This is what you get when you listen to the podcast. So, he was in the Dominican, so because the Dominican Republic baseball is so important to that economy, if you sign in the year that you sign, if you stay in country the entire year and work inside the country for 1 year, you do not have to pay taxes on that baseball income. And since he got so much money to sign,
up front,
right? It was like $4 million or something. they, you know, that's what the deal they worked out to keep him there. That's what the January signing period, that's one of the disadvantages of that, is because then the player is going to play their first year almost assuredly in the Dominican Summer League. If you sign in July 2nd, when they used to have the signing period, maybe you'd smell the DSL for a while, but there was really no rush to push you stateside.
Right.
And you would come naturally the next year. But some guy like Norgie Vera should have probably been in high A, maybe even double A. So
for the 15 and two-thirds innings he pitched, his income's tax-free. That's a sweet deal, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, he didn't even have to pitch. You know, all he has to do
is stay there.
He just has to stay there. He cannot go. Otherwise, he gets taxed on that. And I don't know what the tax rate is. Maybe it's low anyway. But I would assume it's probably fairly high given the poor country that they're in. And there's few people that make money. So they're looking
even
for...
Even if it's 20%, that's $800,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of chump change. That's not chump change. That's big. That's making it rain sort of money, isn't it? For a young kid.
There you go. So... There you go, Timmy. Now when you're at a next cocktail party you're at, you can share that story and look really smart.
You mean the first.
There you go. But there's a lot to like with Norgie Vera, Timmy. Yeah. I mean, it's a big-time arsenal. It's got the big fastball. You know, it's good.
Where are we looking at in subdrafts?
He'll probably go in the first round. I mean, there's always risk in taking pitchers in the first round because at least in our supplemental drafts, I mean, the leagues we play in, he was not eligible for last year's supplemental draft. In fact, he signed during the middle of the draft, if you recall.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't eligible. I remember that clearly. Yeah. It was a question raised as we were drafting, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. But he's still there's still a lot to be proven. He's not like terribly young. See how old he is here. Let me bring that up. And he is 21, 5 months. So he turns 22 in next June. So I'm guessing given his experience and he's knocked the rust off, I think he probably starts in high A and maybe does high A, double A next year. So
yeah, there's a chance we see him in 2023.
I would think so. What do I have as his estimated date to arrive? I've got him at 24. 20.
That's a safe bet. But
yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to number four. We've got Jake Berger. 18 homers, 54 RBIs, and 310 at-bats at Charlotte. Yeah, it was nice to see him finally healthy. Is it time to give him another look in Dynasty Leagues, Rich?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think he's probably owned in most deeper dynasty leagues. Yeah, but, I mean, where does he play? Don't know. I mean, it's pretty crowded up on the big league level. I mean, does he just become kind of a utility guy who is a corner outfielder, corner infielder? Mm-hmm. I mean, is there enough room for a guy like that? I doubt it. Is he a guy that's a fill-in? And let's say Andrew Vaughn goes down with an injury or Jose Abreu goes down with an injury.
Moncada,
does he get a chance? Yeah, he could very well. But he might be, I mean, the worry, and this is your expertise, he might be going to be lacking playing time just because of the depth of that organization.
Well, exactly. You're counting on an intangible to make him of value in our game. And I think odds are pretty good at some point in time. He'll probably get a mention on my waiver wire this year.
Yeah, I would hope so.
As will the next player, and Romy Gonzalez. 2020 in the minors is worthy of our attention, isn't it?
Indeed, Timmy. There are definitely some fantasy-friendly skills. Again, where does he play? I mean, he does strike out a little bit too much, so there's some concern about that. But, yeah, I think he should be owned in all dynasty leagues at this point. He's that close.
Well, according to Roster Resource, he's currently penciled into the ninth slot at second base.
Interesting. Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it looks like there could be some opportunity. In redraft leagues, he's a sort of sneaky player that I'll look at using a bench slot for. What are your thoughts?
Totally agree. He should be a guy that's drafted in those draft and hold leagues for sure.
Okay.
Kind of in the late 20s, early 30s. You could probably grab him there. Maybe mid-20s if you want to be aggressive and make sure you get him.
Right.
I mean, they moved Nick Madrigal for a reason. So they felt like there was depth there. So
probably because they had their doubts about his home run potential. Is that fair?
I'm guessing they look. I get your joke there. Yeah, so I'm sure there's that. But I mean, Nick Madrigal still got some ability, and they made a huge investment in him. But they probably thought, look, we've got depth at the middle infield slot. Even though, when does the shortstop move on, Tim? When is his contract up?
Tim Anderson. He's also their leadoff bat, by the way. I will go to my hyper speed computer, and we will see Tim Anderson. He's got to be coming close. I'm thinking he's in probably his last year of arbitration, but that's just a guess. Tim Anderson, no, he signed an extension. He's locked up through 2024 with the last 2 years, 23 and 24, 12.5 and 14 million club options.
Oh, well, then, yeah, he's locked
that
up.
That explains it. Yep, that explains 24. Madrigal, yeah.
Yeah, it explains a lot. So you got Gonzalez is going to be playing second base unless Anderson gets hurt. So, but there's which is even better, right? Because there's tons of shortstops. There's second base is definitely not as deep. So, look, I think there's some questions on how much he's going to hit. But look, 23 home runs, 22 stolen bases, needs to be owned, Tim.
Yep, most definitely. Moving on to Jose Rodriguez, you describe him as a nugget of optimism, and I can see why. When you hit 14 home runs and steal 30 bases, there's a lot to be optimistic about, isn't there?
Plus, he makes great contact. I mean, he also doesn't walk a ton, but guys who make great contact, I mean, look at Nick Madrigal rarely walks. When you can make that good of contact, I mean, you just swing the pole.
Well, how about Tim Anderson?
Yeah, same thing.
Out of the same organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been beating the odds for years, right?
Yeah, and the odds will catch up to him, particularly as the bat speed slows down. He physically slows down, you know, but it always does. Adam Jones is like the quintessential kind of low strikeout, low walk rate guy that eventually started striking out more and never developed any plate patience. And then he had a great career, Timmy, but the fall off was dramatic.
Well, yeah, it sort of reminds me of the kid with the Mets. Oh, he was with the Twins before that. Oh, what was his name?
Oh, center fielder. Great. Top first-round draft pick, Gomez. Gomez.
Yeah, exactly.
Carlos Gomez.
And when it ended?
It ended.
It ended. Their slow decline into retirement. It was... Hey, nice knowing you. Catch you later.
Now, Starling Marte was like that when he came up with Pittsburgh, but he developed better plate patience, Timmy, and now he's turned out to be one of the better players in all of baseball, right? So, but, I mean, you got to have that for longevity, and these guys that don't, I mean, you just, once they get past 30, you start to go, ooh, when's this going to end? So,
well, one small tick in bat speed. And then all of a sudden, balls that were driven for singles or doubles become foul balls, don't they? They're hitting
indeed.
Into the stance.
Indeed. Yep.
Okay, Matthew Thompson. I'm just going to follow through on your notes here. You received some positive reviews on Matt Thompson. The positive reviews didn't exactly work out into numbers on the in the books. The debut didn't exactly work out according to plan, did it?
Through Matthew Thompson, Jarrett Kelly, Andrew Dahlquist, all those guys that were in Kannapolis in North Carolina playing in that low A team were all supposed to be high draft picks, well thought of guys. They all had 5+ ERAs and it couldn't throw strikes. It must have been a miserable time to go to the ballpark if you're a fan of the Kannapolis. What is their? I don't know, the Kannapolis, whatever their nickname is. So,
yeah, and sort of expanding on that, but you know, when I looked at the rest of the system, yeah, you got Jared Kelly, you got Andrew Dahlquist, Jonathan Stever, Sean Burke. There seems to be an ongoing theme with the young core of White Sox arms, and that would be trouble consistently throwing strikes. It just seems to be an ongoing theme with those young arms, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one of them is probably going to step up and become good. I'm guessing it's Matthew Thompson. If I were to, I mean, that's why he's ranked at the top of the group. But if you were to tell me, but all those guys' ceilings as a middle reliever, I would not at all be surprised.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, as I was going through them, it just, you know, the record kept playing over and over again. Same old story. You know. At 14, Blake Rutherford.
Yeah.
I actually forgot he was still playing.
Yeah, I know.
I saw the name, and all of a sudden, well, that's the Yankee Uber prospect that never worked out, right?
Never. Nick Adolfo, the guy number 13, signed for a lot of money and just swings and misses too much. He hasn't worked out yet. And Blake Rutherford, nothing developed. I mean, no speeds there. I mean, there's some. He's not going to steal bases. There's no power developed. He's okay hitter. Yeah, he's meh. Yeah, he just never developed.
He will make my waiver wire, okay, in 3 years, Rich.
He's Lane when he Thomas. Returns,
when he returns from Korea or Japan, a success story. How's that?
Because
that's his next destination, right?
It probably will be. I mean, look, the guy was well thought of. I liked him coming out of the draft. I mean, the Yankees picked him in the first round, and it wasn't like they reached and everybody else had him in the fifth round. This is a guy that was well thought of, so there was talent at some point. It's just the Yankees and now the White Sox have not been able to draw it out of him. And maybe it clicks when he's 28, as you're saying, in Korea, but right now it's not clicking.
No, it's not. Do you mind if I interject on your number 15 prospect just for a second, Rich?
Sure.
Oscar Colas. He's generated a fair bit of discussion based on his quasi-career in Japan. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is for all of our listeners out there. Some of the numbers coming out of Japan have been quoted very, very wrong. In Japan, they have a minor league system, an East and a West, one minor league, one top minor league team for each of the major league teams there. And for all the talk about his numbers, he only has 21 plate appearances on the big league roster. The numbers that you're seeing being quoted in some cases are his minor league numbers. So be very, very careful with that. Also, he's heading into his age 24 season. He's not a spring chicken, so I think exercising caution with Oscar Colas is a prudent approach. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm doing my research. I'm reading the tweets. I'm reading the articles. I'm going, something doesn't make sense to me because I'm looking at Baseball Reference, and they're two different codes, and I'm going, I think this is a minor league system. How do I figure this out? And I punt it and I said, I'll reach out to the great Tim McLeod. He will know. So Tim explained that whole thing to me months ago, Timmy. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember that clearly. Yeah. And I was glad to help you with that because the problem is the minor league teams in Japan, the equivalent of our AAA teams, they use the same team names.
Yes.
Okay. Which works for them and it's cool. But for somebody who's not familiar with it, like you said, you're looking at the numbers and you're seeing the same team name for both minor and major league stats. The only differential is JPWL, you know, the Western League or the Eastern League as compared to the NPP Major League. So I'm glad I could help you with that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So he played in 2017 for something called the JPWL. But in 2019, he played the 21 plate appearances for the JPPL, both named SoftBank teams. And I'm looking at that's where, and then you click those on, and it takes you to the same place in Baseball Reference. And that's when I threw up my hands and said, okay, something's not right here. So
yeah, let's take the easy way out that McLeod dude might know, right?
I'm thinking an 18-year-old even in Japan is not going to be in general on the quote unquote major league roster. So that was also another kind of tell there. So yeah, and well thought of writers, Timmy, the Jeff Passons of the world got it wrong. So with all of their editors and so forth, didn't have that information correct. So
yeah, again, there's definitely some talent there,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't put him in the creme de la creme of the international talent. The
not like the Suzuki guy, right?
Well, no, and I'm fit to be tied today. I'm starting to sweat over that one because he's going to be posted next week, and with the collective agreement expiring December 1st, I'm still not 100% clear on how that's going to work, but I have a gut feeling he's going to have a week to sign.
I think he's going to have a week to sign because
yeah.
You can't sign a player during the lockout. You can only sign minor league guys to minor league contracts. And I believe you got to sign a guy coming over from Japan to a major league deal. I don't think he can sign to.
Well, and the other problem with that is players coming out of Japan can only be posted once per off season.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they come up with an agreement in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's posted next week, okay, he's not going to get a second chance this year.
Yeah,
unless they make an exception because of the state of
CBA. He can't count on that. So he's got to sign in a week. He has to.
It's going to be fast and furious, isn't it?
And you know, you figure a lot of that. A lot of that's already been done. So I'm sure got it down to his, his final few, but he's going to have to make his visits next week and decide. So,
yeah, it's going to be quick.
Timmy, that's a wrap. We've gone 36 minutes. I will break that segment into two. Let's take a break and get back and let's continue on. Do you have any final questions on the White Sox before we move on to the Cleveland Guardians, Tim? Oh, jeez.
Yes. 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 Is that the roller derby team or the baseball team? Yeah. Apparently, they've reached. No, I'm good with the White Sox. 36 minutes times five. Let me see here. We might have to pick it up at some point.
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, distractions. Do you have anything further you'd like to add on the White Sox system that we haven't already gone through?
No, I mean, Oscar Colas, I'm going to kind of defer to your judgment, but I've heard things. I've heard he can hit. So, we'll see. So, and look, if he didn't play that much in Japan, but at least he was in some kind of organized baseball for a while before he finally defected and finally came over. So, yeah, we'll see. So,
yeah, cool. Moving on to the Cleveland Guardians. I'm going to have trouble with this. I wish they would have gone with Spiders, but that's neither.
I'm not smart enough to be able to get it the first time, Timmy. It's going to take me a while to get into the habit of calling them Cleveland something else besides Indians. Wow. So.
Well, it's much the same with ballparks. Miller Park is still Miller Park. I don't care what they call it.
Yeah,
I'll never adapt to the changes in ballpark names. You get something. Hey, Cleveland's still playing in the Jake, aren't they?
I don't know who's sponsoring that, but And I think the Staples Center, which is famous, right? That's the one. That's where the basketball team plays in Los Angeles. Timmy, they just got a new sponsor, and it's called the Crypto.com. Rolls right off the tongue. It's like it's been the Staples Center for 20, 30 years, and now it's the Crypto Center. I mean, come on.
I'm still calling it the Forum.
Oh, there you go. That's true. That was before they had sponsorships. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Well, yeah, some of those things stick with you. You know, could you see the Cubs changing the name from Wrigley?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be Wrigley to everybody forever and ever and ever.
It's going to get changed, Tim. So we live in a new world. So
Some of us do.
It's a world controlled by technology, Timmy. The technology firms have all the money. So whether it's a crypto firm or a pure technology play, that's where all the money is. And money's not chewing gum or going to a Staples to buy a $75 printer anymore. That's not paying the bills. So
what you're saying, based on my technical prowess, I'm screwed, right?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of names for stadiums that you're going to go, what the hell is that? I know what Staples is. I go down the street and I see it, you know. But what is crypto? What is that? Like, you know, there's going to be a lot of that stuff that people are going to be very, very perplexed on, which I think will be fun, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Moving on to the Cleveland Baseball Club. At number one, we've got George Valera. He's getting close, but still has some work left to do. Just turned 21, which I sort of find surprising. I would have thought him to be older than that.
Yeah, we've been talking about him forever, Timmy. I love George Valera. I mean, he's it's not been a direct path, if you will. I mean, he's struggled off and on, but there's big time power in his. In his profile, and I think he'll have a little bit of speed at least to start off his career. But I think, boy, if somebody needs help in the outfield, it is the Guardians. And
yes.
I think, you know, I've got his ETA at next year or 2023. I'd love to see him next year. I think it's probably 2023.
Mm-hmm. Possibility in draft and holds as a very late pick.
Late pick. So, but yeah, I mean, look, and the reason I say that very late and as opposed to no, and again, you're better at this than me, you can never count the Cleveland team out with that kind of pitching. If Bieber comes back and is who he is, and some of the other guys come back, and you know they're going to pick up a pitcher or two, they know what they're doing over there. By the All-Star break, they could be in it. And if they're in it, they're going to be looking for offensive help, and Valera's going to be sitting down there going, pick me. And you can see him.
Well, much the same as the number two prospect in their system, Brian Rocchio. Does he make my waiver wire article this year, Rich?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that. Before July?
No. I think he's in the same boat as Valera. I think they both are most likely going to spend a little bit of time in double A, but you know, I think they'll spend once they're in triple A, I think you should start to focus on them. Yeah. Look, he's got power and speed. He's got chance to hit we talk about all these shortstops that the Indians, now Guardians, have had for years. And Rocchio seems to be the guy emerging as the top of the food chain, at least from a fantasy standpoint. So.
Okay. At number three, we have Nolan Jones. Do you realize his high mark in home runs was 19? And that was back in 2018 at A-ball. He's heading into his age 24 season. My patience is starting to wear a little thin, Rich.
It should. I mean, he hasn't developed him. The power is still in batting practice. It hasn't really showed up in games. I mean, he's still slugging low 400s, and he's already in AAA. It's like, when are we going to see this guy that we thought? You know, and look, he's not a model of, like, it's not like he's striking out at 20% rate. It's a 30% rate. So there's, what's going on? So I think my patience has run out. I made a trade, and I got him as a piece in return. And I'm like, I was excited when I got it, but the more I think about it, I'm not so excited anymore. So my patience is gone as well. So
I saw him in the AFL a few years back, and I saw him hit a couple home runs. I think that's all he hit was a couple, but man, he can hit the ball a long way when he hits it. But again, it is what it is, I guess. Peyton Battenfield, everything's trending in the right direction for this kid. And he's 24. That 95-12 strikeout to walk rate between high and double A, that's some impressive. I think there's a fairly good chance we see him next year. What do you think?
Love Peyton Battenfield, Tim.
Okay.
I mean, look, drafted, developed as a Ray. Now he's a Guardian. You know, again, they lost their guy to the Cubs, who was their, pitching whisperer, but I still think you've got enough guys in the Cleveland organization that's going to be able to continue to develop pitchers. I mean, look, it is a Shane Bieber starter kit. That's what you're, now, I'm not saying he's going to be Shane Bieber, and I'm not going to say he's 80% of Shane Bieber, but it is Shane Bieber starter kit. So,
yeah, if he was somehow missed in Dynasty League's first, second round pick,
he should be owned everywhere. He's probably a top 100 prospect for me.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on at number five. Here's another name that we've seen.
That's your guy, Gabriel Arias. So.
Yeah, I can't even remember if he's my guy. But he's out of the Padres system, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He came over in some trade. I don't remember exactly who the Padres got in return, but yes, he is definitely grew up in the Padres organization. And the Padres had a ton of middle infielder, and so did the Guardians, but here he is as one of the better potential players that could come up and help next season. So,
well, yeah, I was going to say he's getting real close, and he held his own at AAA, didn't he?
Yeah, the approach was much, much better. If that's who the kid is, as I say in the notes, he's definitely a different player. I've heard that the approach looked very solid, that he was definitely a better two-strike approach. He was choking up when there was two strikes, so he was definitely cutting down his strikeout rates and improving his walk rate, which is what it's all about. If that can continue when he gets to the big leagues, you could be looking at, you know, their starting shortstop as opposed to Rocchio, because he's a better defender. Arias can definitely play the infield. So can Freeman, the next guy, but he doesn't have the fantasy-friendly skills. So
right, and I was going to say Rocchio can end up looking at second base, third base.
Yeah, at some point they've got to decide what to do with Ramirez, right? I mean, he is signed through 23. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe there's another year. I would anticipate a trade in the works. There would be my gut feeling.
Well, we talked about if they're close, they start bringing guys up. But if Bieber gets hurt again and things don't come together, you could see them moving Ramirez, and then I probably just lost Tim. Tim, you there?
Yep. Yeah. You disappeared for a second.
Yeah. I get this McAfee, which is the security system on my computer, Timmy. Sometimes it randomly comes up and blocks everything. I don't know why. So.
Well, yeah, that's bizarre. I know when I got my new computer, the guy who set it up for me works with my oldest son. He told me don't install any virus software. Just don't play around with porn sites.
It just came up again. So I don't play with porn sites, but I don't know. McAfee is just a pain in the ass, but it keeps me safe. So, what were we talking about? So Ramirez could get moved, and all of a sudden they start this youth movement. They got tons of guys that come up. I like out of all those, I like Arias and Rocchio as to be kind of that shortstop, second baseman. And I see Freeman more as a utility guy.
Yeah. Okay, that's where I was heading. Freeman's the guy, the super utility type that will play everywhere.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, it could be a super just a utility guy. So he can hit, but it's not a lot to get excited about from a fantasy standpoint. And you'll see him probably on Keith Law's list and the ESPN list, just because he is close and he's a good defender. He can hit, but from a fantasy standpoint, Timmy, there's not a lot to get excited about.
Okay. No, fair enough. Moving on then to Bo Naylor. He certainly wasn't ready for Double-A, was he?
Terrible.
Speedy for a catcher. You concerned after the Double-A fiasco?
Yes. Anybody who strikes out 30% of the time at any level, you got to be concerned, except for like the DSL or complex league, right? In a full season ball and you start to swing and miss 30% of the time, it's a big red flag. Now, he's a catcher, get all of that, but he's better than that. So I'm hopeful, but it's definitely a red flag.
Okay. Gavin Williams at number 8. It's all about the health or lack thereof.
He was their first round draft pick last June, and yeah, I mean, it's got the big fastball, but injuries took their toll when he was in college. So yeah, but he's in the right organization. He should be a guy that's probably drafted in the second round and sub drafts next year. So yep.
Okay. Yeah, you know, 68 innings in 3 seasons. That's not good, is it?
No, not at all. But look, pessimist says, look, he can't stay healthy. The optimist says he's now fixed. He's okay. It's got all he can. And you see it happen both ways, right? I mean, Nate Pearson is a kid who wasn't able to stay healthy as an amateur, can't stay healthy as a pro. And then you see guys like Jacob deGrom who couldn't stay healthy as an amateur. And it's been pretty much the model of health since he made it to the major league last year excluded. So.
Okay, at number 9, we have Logan T. Allen. Is there another Logan Allen out there that the Guardians can sign?
Yeah,
really need a third, don't they?
It's pretty weird, right? I mean, that's pretty weird. The Logan Allen, who's also a lefty in the same organization, so.
Yeah, I know. That's caused me, every time I look at that name, I'm like triple checking to make sure I've got the right Logan Allen, right?
So let me tell you a story, Tammy, totally off baseball topic. So I have a nephew whose name is Taylor Lee, L-E-E, and Taylor Lee Wilson. He married last year a woman named Taylor Lee, L-E-I-G-H, and now they're both Taylor Lee Wilson. So Taylor Lee Wilson's married to Taylor Lee Wilson.
It was a Taylor move.
It was a tailor-made move. It's like oh, I mean, I'm like, wow. I met her. She's a lovely woman, but I'm like, geez, like you couldn't find somebody not named after you? Is there some kind of deep psychological thing going on here that I should be aware of? So,
yeah, definitely cool. Logan T. Allen, what say you about that future potential?
I mean, I call it a high floor pitcher, Timmy, which instantly makes a number, you know, number 4 kind of starter. You know, I like big stuff. I like guys that, you know, they can't use sticky substance now, so they can get by with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. He can't do that, but he's a lefty. He pitches in the right organization who get the most out of their guys. So he should be a guy that is considered for ownership. I know he's owned, I think, in every one of our dynasty leagues just because he had a very, very good season. But I don't see him as a top-of-the-rotation guy, not even a number 3 starter. So.
Okay, well, next up on the list, I got to be honest with you, Rich. I mean, you know, you shattered a dream here, okay? 152 strikeouts and 91 innings pitched. Daniel Espino, can we just skip past the free passes? What are the odds as of today that he remains a starter? Because the numbers on paper are sick.
Look, if you're asking the analytical me, it is definitely a guy who should be moved to the bullpen and probably not should be. Right. He will likely wind up in the bullpen just because guys who can't throw strikes that have that kind of arm wind up in the bullpen.
Yes.
Can he develop better control and become a starter? Absolutely. But from a fantasy standpoint, it's a no-lose situation because the upside is at worst, a mid-rotation starter, or at worst, a closer, right? So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's got good Karinchak potential, doesn't he?
That's a great comp. Yep, because Karinchak can't throw strikes either. So, I mean, so he could be Karinchak, which is a pretty darn good valuable player to have on a fantasy team. So
yeah, I'm just hoping he remains a starter. Please get that control under control, right?
Yeah, but don't you agree that it'd be great for him to be a starter because he's more valuable in the fantasy format? But he but that stuff, 152 strikeouts and 90 plus innings, could be a guy that's a lockdown closer or even a Karinchak guy who should be a closer if he can never throw enough strikes, which is a great guy to have.
Well, yeah, he's the sort of guy that in leagues that count holds. You're all over that. That's, you know, he's you're wheeling him out every day.
Yeah.
Because he's going to end up with probably, not probably, potentially 120, 130 strikeouts in his first couple of years out of the bullpen, right?
Yep. I just don't, to me, I don't think you can lose with Espino. I mean, I just think he's a guy that should be owned. He's probably a little low. Should he be in front of Logan Allen? Yeah, probably. Gavin Williams, first round draft pick. So he's about in the right spot. They just got a really strong system. But, you know, I just think he goes to, I think he goes to the bullpen. But I said that with Lance McCullers, and I've been wrong. So.
But you will be right with Lance McCullers. It's just going to take a while, right?
Yeah, same thing with Brandon Belt.
Yeah, well, finally nailed it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Aaron Bracco, it wasn't a good year, was it?
Terrible season, Timmy. I don't even know what you do with a season like that where you hit 174 with a 32% strikeout rate. I mean, what happened? And, you know, I talked to guys that saw him that just were like, he did not look like didn't look like he was a prospect anymore. Just was really off, so.
Okay. Shame about Ethan Hankins, eh?
What about Stephen Kwan? Come on.
Okay. Highest level AAA, an outfielder. Fire away. Give me reasons why I should pick Stephen Kwan in any format next year. How's that?
Okay. So he's always been able to hit. 300 hitter across four minor league seasons. He finally started to show some power. Added loft, which is definitely what I heard. So he slugged 539 in double A.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think he has a chance to be a full-time regular. Nobody's talking about this guy. So,
including me, obviously.
I have his ceiling as a top 60 outfielder and rising. So, you know, using my baseball HQ where they always put that in their little taglines, you know, with a little arrow pointing up. So, yeah, that's my homage to them. So, yeah.
He's not quite a quant miss prospect, but he's getting closer.
He's getting close. You know, it's good. I'm going to give you a rim shot on that. But, yeah, I think I find him intriguing just because nobody's heard of him. Is he a fourth outfielder? Perhaps. But he can hit. And if the power's for real, we could have something.
And let's face it, Cleveland does need some offensive help, right?
Yeah, I like him, Tim. I mean, I doubt you'll see him at 12 on many lists. So probably he might not even make a lot of lists, but I find him very intriguing. So
okay, draft and holds. You'll toss a dart that way after 40.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Ethan Hankins, continuing on. Yeah, shame, eh?
Big kid, yeah. Owned in a lot of leagues, too. It's a shame. But let's see what happens. It was Tommy John. I think it was in June or July. So he's not going to pitch next year. So.
Yeah. Moving on, Oscar Gonzalez. Over or under 300 at-bats in Cleveland next year?
Under, but you will see him in Cleveland next year.
Waiver wire...
Yes, he will make the way because he can hit home runs with the best of them. So
okay, I'm assuming there's some holes in the swing, or else he'd be ranked higher than, say, Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So look, it's big, strong kids like that. You know, you hope that he pulls an Aristides Aquino for 6 weeks and hits 14 home runs. That's what you're hoping for, and it could happen. It could be Framber Reyes too when he first came up. That just took him a while to establish himself. And but there's big time power there. There's no question.
Okay, at number 15 you have Blank Curry.
Xavion.
Okay, wow, that's a name you do not see every day, right?
No, I think I looked that one up. So, look, to me, you don't find many systems where the 15th guy is still relevant. So it's like,
he is.
Look, great season, big fastball. I mean, he's the delivery could point to a reliever, but yeah, I mean, he should be a guy that's considered for a lot of dynasty leagues. So.
That's crazy at number 15, isn't it? It speaks volumes as to Cleveland's system.
Yeah, he struck out 12 per 9 and didn't walk anybody. He's only 5'10", so that's why he's probably going to move to the bullpen. But He's a big leaguer, and I mean, go back to the White Sox. If Oscar Colas is number 15, but is a 14th guy Blake Rutherford a guaranteed big leaguer? No, neither is Micker Adolfo. So this is really
only in Asia.
Only in Asia, right? I mean, Blake Rutherford will probably smell the big league at some point. You know, they'll bring him up to have him September or something like that. But he's not gonna. I doubt he makes it. But Zaven Curry could. So.
Okay, cool. Anything further you'd like to add on the Cleveland Guardians before we break for a commercial?
No, I think it's strong. You know, if I were to handicap it, I think we see Valero, Rocchio, Arias next season. I think two out of the three, maybe all three of those guys come up. Nolan Jones could come up, but Timmy, I just don't know if he's going to be any good. He's the big. This could be it. I think 2022 is a big season for him. He's got to start
a defining type year.
He needs to make better contact, and he either needs to make better contact and continue hitting 15, 18 home runs a year, or he needs to keep with his poor contact and hit 35 home runs. He needs to do something than what he's doing now, which is not helpful. So,
and I totally agree, Rich. So, yeah. Totally agree. When we come back from commercial, can I have 30 seconds with you before we go live?
Sure, because and then we're probably going
to
break.
Something, there's something I just wanted to talk to you about off the air.
Okay, quickly. Yeah. All right, let's break, Timmy. We'll come back, and I'll break here and see what the great Tim McCloud's got for me. Scary. Wrap it up. Tim, ever being the gentleman, saw a misspelling of Dingler with the Detroit Tigers and wanted to tell me off the air. Timmy, that was so kind of you.
Well, that's
very Canadian of you.
Well, yeah, you know, am I going to say on the air, hey, you can't spell? No, well,
dumbass, you can't spell.
Yeah, that's not cool, Rich. You know what I mean? Yeah, a time and a place for everything, but I didn't figure it had to be something we discussed with our multitude of listeners.
Yeah, well, we just did. So
yes, we did. Yes,
it's funny because thousands of people have read this and not one person has mentioned it to me, which is pretty fascinating. Like I say, Timmy, nobody reads it. So,
well, no, I'm that's the editor in me, Rich. You know what I mean? Because you know, my work for the magazine and whatever, it's just something that, you know, all the years working for Rob Blackstein, he was the ultimate person for grammar and spelling. And yeah, I spelled one name wrong, and you know, I got told right quickly, or if I spelled in American instead of Canadian, I got told. So it's just something that's sort of ingrained in me, and when I notice something, I always like to bring it to somebody's attention in a nice way.
There it is, Dillion. I have Dillion Dingler, Tim.
Yeah.
How about Dillion?
Yeah, I looked at that. There's too many I's and L's. It doesn't look, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, D-I-D-I in both first and last names. There's a lot of I's and D's and L's in that name.
Well, it is two L's, one I. It's not Dillion. It's Dillon.
There we go.
There we go. So it is now updated. Timmy, we are going to end this show now. Do you want any final comments on the White Sox and Tigers? Let me ask you a question. You're in a draft and hold league. You've got two slots that you can, and you got to fill them with. You got to fill them with white. We got to fill them with White Sox or Guardians. It can be two in the White Sox, two in the Guardians. Don't care. Give me the two guys that you're most interested in going into next season.
Norgay Vera.
For draft and hold.
Oh, for draft and hold. Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's keep it at dynasty leagues. Let's keep it at dynasty leagues, where they are available.
In a draft and hold, it's got to be. I'm gonna go. Rocchio and Arias.
Okay. No burger.
No burger, no.
No Rami Gonzalez.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about Rami. Rami Gonzalez, yeah. He's the only, sorry, he'd be my number one because he's, I think right now he's locked into a spot, and that counts.
Unless they sign Marcus Semien or somebody like that.
Well, yeah, and I don't think they have to, and I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, they're okay, probably going to sign a pitcher.
Yeah, if they're going to sign him, if they're going to go anywhere, it'll be pitching, I think. And I just don't see a need for the White Sox to move beyond Romy Gonzalez. You know, fantasy-wise, you got power, you got speed potential, and quite possibly every day at bats. That counts.
So now to a Dynasty League supplemental draft, and let's say the big guys are off the board, meaning Valera's not there, and I'm gonna say Yolkis Cespedes is there. You know, the Norgie Vera is there. The young kids are there. Montgomery, you know, the kid that was a first round draft pick on the Guardians. Kwan is there. Who do you like?
I got three names I like for obvious reasons. I got to figure out which two of the three. Norgie Vera is one. Daniel Espino is another, and Jose Rodriguez with the White Sox is a third.
Okay.
Again, it's hard for me to pass on a guy who had double-digit home runs and stole 30 bases in Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that Tim doesn't pass on, but the strikeout potential out of Espino really, really intrigues me. And Vera, I think we're going to see a very, very good starting pitcher a couple of years down the road. So that's the direction I would head. I've got enough shares in Pedro Leon. I don't need any in Cespedes.
Yeah,
I'm not doubling down.
I will say that Pedro Leon is a wider kid. There's potentially, he's just more physical than Cespedes. Cespedes is a little dude. Yeah, they're in the same camp for me. So they're similar age and similar rust. So who emerges as the better player? I think it's Leon, but if it's Cespedes, it could be. If it's neither one of them, I wouldn't be shocked at that. So,
yeah, you know, when I start looking at dynasty leagues, as much as one has to build for the future, if I get an opportunity to do something for next year right away, I'm going to look at next year. I'm all about short term as compared to long term, if that makes sense. I think I can always find players further on in a draft that could develop into something. And during the regular season, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? There's always players that break out and emerge. So if I can get somebody who can help me short term in a dynasty, I'm all about that. I like that approach.
The reason I still grab young players is because because of the way the game is played now, both at the major league level and in the dynasty league format, guys who are young that get off to really fast starts, everybody thinks they're the next Vlad Jr. or Wander Franco, and their value turns. I mean, their on paper value is very, very high. And
yes, it is.
They can turn into, you know, a starting pitcher at the major league level that you need help with. So I'm beginning to turn more and more of those guys and hope they don't turn into Ronald Acuna or Vlad Jr. And that they're, you know, I hope everybody makes it to the major leagues. But I'm more playing that short-term game by using young players as trade fodder. So,
well, and you know what? If you win yourself a few titles along the way, does it really matter if they turn into Ronald Acuna? It's all about winning at the end of the day. So if you have to use some of those chips and they do work out, as long as you have some victories and some success along the way, that sort of compensates for the loss of what could be a top 25 talent down the road.
Yeah. The only caveat to that approach is you can't trade Wander Franco when he's in the DSL, right? Because rightfully you're not going to get what you think the value is. But once Wander Franco or a guy like him hits low A and blows up and can prove that he is 20 years old and looks like the next big thing and starts making top 100 lists, that's when I think that's when you move them and you can get some really, really good players for it. But as a 17-year-old kid in the DSL, rightly so, somebody's not going to make that as a centerpiece for Gerrit Cole, but they might do that when the kid's in low A. So,
well, yeah, what did the White Sox get for Fernando Tatis Jr.?
They
comparing
got
it to the real game.
Yeah, they got the kid from Tampa, the Shields, James Shields. That's who they got.
Okay.
Not good. So he didn't
win them a title, did he?
He did not win them a title. It's fascinating. She made the comment. So what difference does it matter if you don't get Ronald Acuna? If you don't win, it makes a difference, right? So
it makes a big difference.
And it hurts. It hurts when you realize you had Ronald Acuna at 17 years old, and he just did what? That's a tough pill to swallow. At least it is for me.
Yeah, but there'll be more down the road, right?
Yep. All right, Timmy. Let's break. This will be out this afternoon, and we will probably on Monday or Tuesday, the next three will be up. But let's take a break. I'll go potty, and then we'll get started right back up. Tim, be well.
Sounds good. Yeah, be well. We will catch you in five.